This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon and welcome down to Tee, Florida. And actually today it is two pros and a hack. The entertainment gallery is not in the house on this kind of a dreary day down here in St. Petersburg. I'm sure it's the same up in St. Augustine Beach where John Rager is each and every week for us. Of course, we're broadcasting live from our Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios upstairs by one of the simulators, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. And speaking of Shipyard Brewing, Fred Forsley, good friend of mine, and the man behind the plan there, he's actually in England. Shipyard Brewing, for the people that like craft beer, out of Maine, where he founded it. It is the number two import in England for craft beers.
Seriously.
From America. Doesn't that blow you away?
That blows me away big time.
But he's over there and consummating some business, and I just thought I'd throw that in, kind of an interesting factoid from one of our great sponsors. As I said, we're in our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. I'm Mike Rickard. I'm the head of the Hack Nation. And, you know, it's perfect today to have John Rager. He's PGA America teaching pro, a tournament director, marketing genius, you name it, he's done it. He's up in St. Augustine Beach. And then across from me, fortunate to have Bill Buttner in the house at 15 years on the PGA Tour, still at the St. Pete Country Club as a teaching professional. And I know you still have your toe, more than your toe, dipped in the water at Eckerd College in the golf program. So don't BS me.
I've done some basketball. Don't forget about basketball.
No. You're all the way
volleyball.
In there. You're all the way in there at Eckerd College. So I'm fortunate. So it actually is two pros and a hack because Tom Gribben, St. Petersburg's most interesting man, he's actually on a Zoom call right now. And he didn't say I couldn't say this with his great book, of course, The Last Florida Boy, Communications and a Zoom Call with Netflix for a series. And that book would be the basis of it. So now he's even more interesting. And, of course, Patty the Cart Girl, she's tardy or she is she doesn't have an excuse absence. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I didn't give her an excuse absence. No, I know that.
No, that's not good. And Kerry McNally is just too dang busy and kicking butt right now and rocking and rolling. John Rager, how are you, my man?
Hey, it is great to be on. It is a very, very dreary day out there. This is one of those days it's good to put golf on in your living room there. And you still have golf being played out in the West Coast, so there's some primetime golf to view on the Golf Channel tonight. This week they're coming to you from the the American Express tournament that used to be called the Bob Hope Desert Classic, but now it's called the American Express, but they still do have a very similar format. They play five rounds, and the first three rounds are on three different courses with the amateurs, so it's going to be well worth it to watch it from beautiful Palm Springs out there. They play a rotation that includes the PGA West golf course, which is touted as one of the most difficult golf courses out there. Hey, plus, we're going to talk a little bit about the Hilton Grand Vacation Pro-Am that's over at Lake Nona. It's being held this weekend. It's hosted by Annika, and I can tell you that you get a lot of celebrities that come play in that Pro-Am. It's quite a hoot. They're also known for their 17th hole where they play blaring music and yell and scream and have a good time. And the players, you know, they're playing some serious golf too. The ladies are trying to, make a big check, and they get, I guess what you do is not being climatized, but you get sensitized to be able to play in that kind of environment. Hey, and plus later on the show, we'll have Clemmie Perry on, and she is the founder of Woman of Color Golf, and she was with us yesterday at our NFL Alumni Press Conference. in Tampa, and she's going to talk a little bit about her organization, and we're also going to talk about the upcoming NFL Alumni Tournament. We had Dexter Jackson there yesterday to help kick off the tournament. He was the Super Bowl MVP, 37, and he's got a lot of his friends in the NFL going to come play as our celebrities. So we do have a lot to talk about today, and again, it is kind of dreary, and later on we'll go ahead and do the Wild Bills Golf Weather Report, and we'll do it from Florida versus some exotic location where the tours are played.
Hey, let's back up a minute. Given the demographic of the three of us, why did you disrespect the Champions Tour? You didn't even mention them. The boys are playing over in Hawaii at the Mitsubishi Electric Championship. You'd think, given our age group, that'd be your top of mind to promote because in this particular case, they're not last on the totem pole of what I want to talk about. The Dubai Desert Classic is last, but we certainly are going to talk Mitsubishi, the Electric Championship. And if I butcher this, I know you'll correct me. Hula Lai course?
That's that close right? enough for me. You know, you're in charge of the Champion Tour reporting here on the Sea Florida. So however you want to pronounce it and whatever you want to say about it, yeah, we don't want to forget the old guys out there. I think this is their first
event. You know most of them. Or Bill has crossed paths with most of them. So, and I may have interviewed him back in the day. So that's why I'm the most comfortable with that group of people. One of the things over at Lake Nona, I kind of think is kind of cool. There's only 39 of the LPGA gals playing, but of the celebrities there, and there's a handful, like I said, Charles Woodson, the Michigan standout, the Heisman Trophy winner. He's a nice stick. I've never seen him in any of these. I've never seen him up at Lake Tahoe. I've never seen, you know, he lives over there, actually. He's a Lake Nona resident, and he's got a nice game. And, of course, you can always count on Smoltz being there. And then the ageless one, Jack Wagner, the soap op king. That guy's got game.
Well, I was going to say, if you play at that level where they play at, you have game.
Well, yeah, they interviewed him today, and he was real comfortable. He said, he's talking about the gals. He said, well, I really enjoy it. I can't remember who he was playing alongside of. He said, I really enjoy, you know, playing with these gals. They're really smooth. I get in a rhythm. And whoever was on the call, the color analyst, said, I don't think Jack Wagner's always smooth. It wouldn't matter who he's playing. But he said what you just said. He has game so that he doesn't get intimidated. He's played in so many of these pro-ams. But the cool thing, John, is that they're playing the modified Stableford scoring for that. And right now, Annika was just one, I think, 1 point off the lead. And she's playing some dang good golf.
Well, absolutely. You know, and she actually gets to play in these things as a celebrity, which is pretty cool. She'll play in Lake Tahoe every year, and she gets to play in this one as a celebrity. And you go on down the list, and you do see some of the typical names that you always see in the one at Lake Tahoe. You see him here, like you talked about, Jack Wagner. You know, Marty Fish, he's always up there.
Well, he's a heck of a golfer.
Then you have famous actor Alfonso Ribeiro. So you have him out there, plus you mentioned John Smoltz. But yeah, and Urban Meyer is teeing it up in this event, so that's very interesting.
Really?
Yeah, maybe I'm surprised he's not coaching one of the NFL teams again. All of a sudden, the way they're firing all these coaches. Hey, Emmett Smith's in there. That's a popular one. You talked a little bit about Charles Woodson. Michael Waltrip is in this field, and also Vince Carter, who was inducted into our Florida Sports Hall of Fame class of 2023 up in Jacksonville. He's rounding out the field. Plus, I got to tell you that probably the most fan favorite over there that plays every year is Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah. He played a couple of pro-ams. You know, he's from Nebraska. He played a couple pro-ams in the Principal Charity Classic at Wakanda. And I think he tried to walk. It's excruciating. I mean, it's Billy Goat Hill. And I saw him, like, on his fourth hole, and they got a card out to him right away. But he's a hoot, man, and he's not a bad stick.
No, not at all. You know, I tell you that, you know, he does play a lot of the charity things and being around it. But, yeah, he's not too bad. You know, he's actually, this year his dress code changed a little bit because it is a little overcast and nippy over there. And, you know, he's not wearing his typical cut-out-the-sleeves wife-beater shirt over there to play golf. He actually has a nice over jacket there, a nice long sleeve shirt. He looks he just upped his class this year, but I think it's because it's cold over there.
You know, we were blessed to be at the Annika, of course, up at Pelican. And I know.
Watch what you say here. Tom's not here.
Gribben's not here to whine about it today. However, and Jeremy Friedman apologizes. He was going to be on tonight, but he actually has a dinner over there at the at Lake Nona at the Hilton Garden Vacations event for tonight. But when you watch some of these players, we saw them all up there. Brooke Henderson, we saw the majority of them were all up there at the Annika, weren't they, John?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I got to see him inside the clubhouse because I got to sneak into that fabulous buffet and open bar they had inside. I tell you what.
I forgot you were big time in it. I could have gone in. I went in, and I didn't want to get chastised because I was media. John walked in like he owned the joint, threw some down, you know, a couple of slabs of prime rib, grabbed a pocket full of shrimp. I think he ordered two doubles and got the hell out of there.
I pray that Tom's not listening to this. Tom, they don't really mean it.
I really don't mean that John Rager didn't do that, but he could have.
Well, you know, I want to give you some perspective. I want to go back to the Champions Tour, and Bill will appreciate this because we're very similar in age. You know, I spent 25 years as the announcer for the Champions Tour event in Tampa. So I did it for every tournament for 25 years until they ended the tournament. And when I first started it, it was like in the late 80s, and it was like watching the history books. I mean, you had Arnold Palmer, and you had Don January, and you had, you know, Doug Ford. I mean, you had all these names that, you know, like young golfers would only see in the history books, okay? And then as the years went by, you started seeing the younger guys, you know, the younger guys being like, well, here comes Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite. And then we started seeing people on the tee that you can really relate to because you played golf against them, you know, whether you played a tour or a professional event or maybe you played against them in college, you know, you're relatively the same age. And thank God the tournament did end because in the later years of my starting and announcing duties, the golfers on the Champions Tour were our junior golfers. They were kids that you actually had your junior golf program. And now they're on the Champions Tour. So I'm glad they put that tournament to bed and put me to bed because, my goodness, now I guess by the time you get to the Champions Tour, it might be the grandkids of the junior golfers or whatever, or the kids of the junior golfers.
Speaking of that era, I remember the 1999 Senior U.S. Open was at Glen Oaks Country Club in Des Moines, Iowa, West Des Moines, and a big push by Arnold Palmer because he was building a course called Tournament Club of Iowa just north of Des Moines. And as I've said on several occasions, I got to meet the king. But the history of this tournament taking place in California, you know, Arnold lived in Palm Springs for it forever, but I think he won, and I'm almost certain on this. I think he won the first one at the Palm Springs Open. I believe he won the first one as well, and then he ended up settling out there for decades. I had a couple of friends that lived in his neighborhood and went to the same club, and I've got some great off the air stories there too. What a great guy!
Oh. Arnie was the best. I mean, he was the face of the franchise and willing to go out and meet the public. He was our connector.
Face of the franchise. I like that.
Well,
you know, here's another story about Arnold Palmer. I remember playing, and they used to have this tournament out there called the Tour and Club Pro Invitational, and they would take PGA Tour pros and pair them with PGA Club pros. And the Club pros they pair you with typically was the Club pro that was instrumental in either teaching in golf or coaching golf, or maybe it's the pro at their club or their friends or whatever, but there's always some relationship there. So Jim Deaton, the pro at Bay Hill at that time, came over with Arnold Palmer to play in the tournament. And then this tournament, we had Arnold Palmer and Payne Stewart and Jack Nicklaus, and I mean, it was awesome. They did it at the Grasslands over in Lakeland. You know, we had thousands and thousands of people in the galleries, and it was one of the most favorite events I think I've ever played in. And one of the things about it was you had to pull up, and it was a development, and they had like a pool house, you know, where you had like the swimming pool and little tennis pro shop and like a little, you know, meeting room or something. So they used that as the player check-in. And so it's funny because, you know, so we're off in the side parking lot, and there's like, you know, 50 pros, you know, whether they're tour pros or PGA pros, we're all standing in line because they're going to give us the best goodie bag, just about one of the things you could ever get. I mean, it's chock full of stuff, and, you know, we're all standing in line to check in. And I'm in the back of the line, and I look over, and I see Arnold Palmer pull into the parking lot in his Cadillac, and they had covered over the reserved parking spot right up front. They had it covered in a black thing, and they pulled it up, and it says, Arnold Palmer. And he pulls right in. He gets out. He walks in to register, and literally 50 pros all took one step to the left, and they let Arnold Palmer walk right up to the front of the line and check in before anybody.
And that's, you know, why he was called the king, right?
You know, and he was, you know, he'd look over, and he's got that, you know, he's got that, you know, charismatic smile, you know, he's got that little smirk going, you know, and he goes, thank you, boys, you know, and he walks right up there, and, you know, here's like Payne Stewart's going, yes, sir, Mr. Palmer, yes, sir. I mean, so, yeah, he is the absolute king. I mean, he commanded it all. In fact, the other day I was watching a great TV commercial, one of those old ESPN commercials, and they had Scott Van Pelt and another announcer in there, and they were took place in the ESPN cafeteria. So in here walks Arnold Palmer with his caddy. The caddy's got the golf bag on it. Arnold Palmer walks up to the lemonade dispenser and the iced tea dispenser, and he takes out a cup. He puts some ice in it. And he pours a little bit of the tea, a little bit of the lemon, then maybe back to the tea a little bit, and then walks on, and the whole lunchroom in there was in awe. Because our listeners out there probably never heard of Arnold Palmer sometimes, because but they do have heard about his drink, the Arnold Palmer drink. So, yeah, and our listeners know who Arnold Palmer is, but I'm talking about maybe our younger listeners out there would have no idea who Arnold Palmer is, and even if they don't play golf, but they certainly know what that beverage is.
Or somebody could have pulled a John Daly done that, and then pulled a little ice pick vodka and pour that into the iced tea, which I have on more than one occasion, and it's a taste treat. Hey, let's look at that leaderboard. And the reason I want to take a look at that leaderboard out there at the American Express is because of an Iowan.
Oh, boy.
Zachy Johnson's only one off the pace.
You see the scores they're shooting there?
Oh, my God.
It's low, and he hasn't finished yet, I believe. He's still got two holes.
Yeah, he's got two holes. But he's sitting in second. Scott Stallings, Stallings still has a hole left, and he's sitting at 10 under. But this is a case of it's kind of like when you're playing La Jolla, isn't it? I mean, there's an easy course, and then there's a tougher course. Is that right, fellas?
No, not necessarily. There's a lot of easy golf courses there, and the one that they use for the primetime Sunday is harder, but still it's...
They're going to go low.
They'll go low.
Yeah.
It's such good conditions out there.
Yeah. In fact, he beat Xander Schauffele, the number seven player in the world.
Well, it's a wedge.
This is a resurgence for Zach.
No, it's a wedge game. It's a wedge game. It plays right into his hands.
Well, he played pretty decent at the Sony, where he'd had previous success.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see now that he doesn't have those responsibilities, you know, as a Ryder Cup captain, John Rager. It's kind of cool that he gets to go out and enjoy some golf. Maybe he'll have some success on the as you say, the courses, the horses for horses.
Yeah.
And Zach might come upon one of them.
Well, absolutely. Now, this is the full field also. There's 156 players in the field, so they do the cut after three rounds. And so there's a lot of golf to play, but Zach Johnson is tearing it up. You know, I'm looking at the leaderboard right now myself, and he's minus 10 with one hole to go. So,
that's
some good playing.
That's some damn good playing.
Mike, you got to refresh your browser screen once in a while, you know, and it'll kind of, you know, get you updated.
Hey, listen to me. He can attest to it. I'm running the board. I've got a little iPad where I'm reading so that I stay on track for the show, and then I'm trying to pull scores up on another. So I've got four different...
A.K.A. he's multitasking.
Yeah, and you know how good I am with one computer device, John Rager. So you can imagine four in front of me.
Well, you know, Bill, I always give Mike a hard time for his technology because you got to upgrade. I swear, sometimes during the show, I'll hear the dial-up tone to the AOL, and all of a sudden, once in a while, I'll hear, you've got mail.
I wish it was that simple.
Wow.
I wish all this, you know wasn't sitting here in front of us. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to stay on top of things and the stories out there as well. Speaking of Arnold Palmer, speaking of commercials, speaking of promotion and the Golf Channel, Wasn't it just last week that was the anniversary of the launch of the Golf Channel?
Was it 29 years?
I think it was 29 years.
Yeah, they had the big commercials on.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking at those old commercials and the people that they got involved. Dan Marino in one of them. And the theme was golf for 24 hours. And I remember when it came out, I thought, yeah, this thing is going to be an uphill battle. I remember when Espen came out, I owned a little neighborhood tavern in Iowa. I think I was like 1979, 1980. And I got it. And hell, we had dart throwing, you're watching, cricket, rugby, and all the old boys would be sitting at the bar like, what the hell you got on here? I said, well, it's better than these soap operas you clowns are watching, you know, throwing down some coldies. But yeah, I remember when that came out, that wasn't going to be a success, and the Golf Channel wasn't going to be a success. And look at where we are
today. The Golf Channel, it's its 25th year, and it was launched in 1995. I remember I helped open up a brand new golf course called Black Bear in Eustis, Florida, just outside North Orlando. And I can tell you that what we did is, you know, we went ahead and, I mean, Golf Channel just came out, and they were really lacking in programming. And all they would show is, you know, they'd have their golf show every year, you know, I mean, every day, the Golf Central show, whatever, and they'd have do one show and play it 12 times. And then they would have Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, which was absolutely wonderful to watch. You know, Shell's Wonderful World of Golf.
I love that show.
I saw one 2 days ago.
Did you?
And they would play a lot of it. And so since we were so close to the Golf Channel in Orlando, they were in serious need of programming. So what happened was Scott Van Pelt, you know, he's a big-time guy in ESPN. Well, he was just a rookie starting out at the Golf Channel, and they sent him out to cover a seminar we did, how to do business on the golf course. And
that's VP there?
He's SVP.
That's how important he is.
I was gonna say.
That's when he had hair. So, you know, we got to interact with the Golf Channel. But if you look at the Golf Channel now, I mean, there's almost 500 million people in 70 countries in nine languages follow the Golf Channel. So, you know, they've got a lot of other businesses. I know that little controversy because they moved out of Orlando and they moved up to, you know, to the Comcast headquarters, and NBC owns it. And yeah, they've cut the budget quite a bit. They don't cover as much local stuff. But, hey, next week they will be at the PGA show where we will be, and they'll do broadcasts from there, and they'll have all kinds of celebrities on the Golf Channel. So I know that the PGA show is just more of an insider deal for the golf industry, for buyers and people who are involved on the wholesale side or the business side of the golf industry. But if you're a listener out there and you want to see the latest and greatest and experience all the toys and all the new things that are coming out in golf, you know, tune in to the Golf Channel and watch it.
Or next week and the week after, tune in to On the Tee Florida, because John Rager will have his own little breakdown of his day there, and I'm going to be there on Wednesday so I can see my good friend Mark Egli. He's receiving an award over there, and I promised him I would get my carcass over there, so I'm looking forward to that. But you know what, and I know you're experiencing this right now, John. The funny thing is that, you know, through your assistance, thank God, I got the credentials. And I tell you what, I'm getting a lot of prospects that they don't realize they're sending me all these emails that we're going to be there, and we'd like you to stop by. Well, and we're going to have one on the air here in the second hour. Pure Golf, and it's a putting.
Pure Golf, yeah.
They got a little putting thing. You've heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to have the founder, and another reason why I'm having them on. They're from Wisconsin, and what kind of fans do you think they are? Green Bay Packers, baby. We're going to talk a little Green Bay Packers as well. Anyway, I'm getting bombarded by these emails, and I'm notching them down. There's a prospect. I'll be at every one of their booths handing out business cards, not knowing they're going to get a proposal from us.
If you can get to every one of those booths, God bless you, because there are so much territory to cover.
I've got a dozen invites right now, so I figure I'll be busy all day, John.
Well, Mike, you know, one of the things about it is sometimes it's a game, and in the game that, you know, you got a bag and see how many free tchotchkes you can get, free stuff, you know. And it's nice, you know, sometimes they'll give free samples out of products and this, that, and the other, but also in the media business, they are eager to get the product in your hand so you can try it, talk about it, and maybe send them some business. So I used to work for the PGA Tour. And so before I worked for the PGA Tour, I go to the PGA show, and I would say, well, if it's free, it's for me. And then when I went to work with the PGA Tour, they have an expression there. They're a little bit more greedier. They go, if it's free, give us three.
depends on the clout that you carry on in your media world. Well, I'm going to embellish our reach, our numbers, because we're getting there. We're the fastest growing golf show in Florida. But I'm going to get three so that I can share.
Oh, wow.
You know, one year I went to the PGA
Show. I didn't say Tom.
Oh, I see. Okay. It's others.
No, Tom has been, he has been aggressive on that topic. He is going to have to, he's going to have to be kinder to me, and then he'll be in the three.
I don't know if he's going to go that way.
No, he won't. No. I guarantee you.
One year I went to the PGA Show. I was the managing partner of the Country Club Ocala. I was one of the owners there. And so I got all my partners' PGA Show passes. And, of course, I made them buyers, you know, because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, if they wanted to buy something, you know, I said, okay, it's within reason, and we think we can sell it in the shop. It might be the latest, greatest shirt or putter or whatever. Have at it, you know. It's just, you know, one of the things that, you know, we all had to sign the payroll checks there, but I figured they weren't going to get too out of bounds. Well, one of our partners went there, and all of a sudden this big crate shows up on a semi out front. And you ever go to those PGA Tour events and you see the big Rolex watch clock, you know, it's got a big clock for the starter, yeah. And it says Rolex on it. Well, they bought one of those. You know, it was it was $50,000.
And, did you have a heart attack?
And so from that point on, the future PGA shows, none of them were buyers. I didn't let them have a checkbook. I didn't let them have the tax ID number. And they were just non-buyers only.
These guys were all physicians, weren't they? They had deep pockets. They weren't worried about you controlling the budgets and showing a profit, obviously.
But you never know what you're going to come home with from the PGA Show. But yeah, you know, hey Bill, when you go to the PGA Show, what in your history of going to the PGA Show, what do you think is probably the most unusual thing you've seen at the PGA Show? What do you think the most unusual thing? You know,
hot cart girls.
No, there's that there too. But it's amazing how many products think they're in the golf industry, like wine. Obviously, they have a lot of member guest prizes or promotions or something, and there were all kinds of weird things that were at this show.
Well, that's the right demographic because of disposable income. So that I have to look forward to that, right?
Yeah, I mean it's all A to Z. It's brooms. It's things you'd never think about the golf industry, but they somehow tie it to the golf industry, and they're trying to
market
it.
The PGA Show's not going to say no because they charge them for that booth.
No,
I bet that's a pretty penny.
You know, here's a perspective on this, too, though. You know, when I look back at things I saw, not only did I always used to go to the PGA Show, I would go to either the Golf Course Owner Show, I would go to the Club Managers Association Show, the Superintendents even had a show. And so I remember one year at the PGA Show, they came out with the soft spikes. And, they didn't really go very well. They didn't go very well at all because people slip and slide on when they're playing and everything. And so it didn't really do very well. But at the Club Manager Show, they went flying off the shelves and became a huge success. And I'm like, why is that? Well, I figured out that the reason soft spikes became popular and mandatory in golf shoes had nothing to do with playing golf on the course. It had to do with the general managers of the club having to replace their carpet all the time. It used to be you go into a golf clubhouse, you had your spikes on, you had to take your shoes off, go in the dining room. Well, now with the soft spikes, you can walk anywhere you want to in the clubhouse. And so a product that was supposed to revolutionize the game of golf from a player standpoint had nothing to do with that. It had all to do with saving the budget on recarpeting the clubhouse.
Hey, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and have a conversation with Clemmy Perry, lovely lady, a power broker in the greater Tampa St. Pete area, and only John Rager could pull her away for a conversation today. So let's take a break here on the T Florida Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. We'll be right back.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
On the Tee Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA Golf Tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Carrie McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7 from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee Florida and Ice Pick Vodka.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And On the Tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back On the Tee, Florida. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, across from Bill Butner, of course, the teaching professional at St. Pete Country Club, former Eckerd College coach and PGA professional, and of course John Rieger up there in St. Augustine Beach, and he is a man of all hats in the world of golf. And we're brought to you by our good friends at Michelob Ultra. Got a meeting tomorrow. We're going to be doing some exciting things during all the majors and our leagues. Our leagues start again on January 31st up here in our two simulators, and then we've got another league that'll be starting in February on Mondays if anybody is interested in participating as well. We're still BOGO for the next 2 weeks. BOGO, buy one hour, get two. So it's a heck of an opportunity, $40. And four guys, 2 hours, it's $5. You can't go wrong with that, especially on days like today. This is the type of weather, Bill Butner, when people want to use our simulators. Come up and have some cocktails, have a Champa Bay, have a lot of fun, and come see us down at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, right across from Tropicana Field. This young lady, and I will tell you, it took John Rieger, and she will attest to this. I have battled for and been I've been persistent. I persevered. I overcome being shunned for 4 years, trying to get this wonderful woman. Come here, Perry.
Hey, Mike, you know what we got to do? Mike, I've got to give her the full-blown introduction.
I'm not done whining. I'm not done whining yet.
Quit whining. We want to talk to Clebby. Here you go. Ready? We ready for our introduction? Here we go. On the Tee, Florida, founder, Women of Color Golf, named a White House champion for change, and former Tampa Bay Buccaneer cheerleader, Clemmy Perry.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, we got about 50 people down here.
Standing O.
Well, thank you, dear, for joining us, and it was a pleasure. The last time I saw you was at Bourbon Baseball and Cigars over in Ybor City.
Yes, it was. I remember.
Yeah, and you didn't turn and run. It was my perfect opportunity. I've been dogging you for several years, And it was during the COVID, as I understand, and your mother, and it was tough times. But when I saw you, I thought, I'm not blowing this opportunity. And we had a nice conversation, and it's great to have you on the show finally.
I know it is. Well, it's long overdue, but I'm here now.
All right, John, she's all yours.
Well, Clemmy, I think that one of the things we want to talk about today, there's so many things to talk about with you, but I want you to tell our listeners about yourself, the Women of Color Golf, and then also the involvement that you guys are going to have in the special event that you're going to put on during our NFL Alumni Super Bowl of Golf Tournament. So the floor is yours, Clemmy.
Okay, well, thank you again for inviting me. So to our listeners, my name is Clemmy Perry, and I am the founder and executive director of Women of Color Golf and Girls on the Green Tee. And we are a grassroots community-based organization that provides golf education to minority women and girls to help with the growth of the game and to get them involved in the sport of golf. I was a former executive for Lockheed Martin Corporation, and I actually got into the game by accident. I was actually laid off from Lockheed and decided, well, I finally have time now to learn how to play golf. I initially had not been a golfer. I had been an NFL cheerleader for actually two teams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Miami Dolphins. And then I, like I said, worked in corporate America in aerospace and defense. And I actually found a set of golf clubs on a trash pile on the intersection, believe it or not, of PGA Boulevard and Prosperity Road. And one of my brothers bought me lessons, and I never looked back because at that time I realized that there were not very many minority women and girls that looked like myself. And so I took that step to Lockheed and started the organization. And since
you know,
Clemmy,
when you found those golf clubs, you probably didn't realize that how frustrating this game really was, because you're probably thinking, why in the world would somebody just leave a perfectly good set of golf clubs laying in a trash heap outside PJ Golf Club in Prosperity Road? Well, now you know why. You know, that's probably not the first time that's happened there, so it's almost like we should go just park it out there and wait for someone to get rid of their clubs so we can snarf them up.
Yeah. Well, John, it's funny that you said that, because that ended up being, for me, a treasure in the trash. And so I look at that moment as one of the most pivotal moments in my life, because from that point, as you mentioned, those set of golf clubs have taken me all over the world. We've been to St. Andrews. We've done some training with women from the Middle East. And it has just been the most life-changing, actually rewarding experience of my life.
Hey, tell us a little about your trip to St. Andrews, because I know I followed that, and we were there with Dr. Powell, I believe, and you went to St. Andrews. Is that true?
Yes. So we actually had an opportunity. Dr. Renee Powell, for those listeners that don't know, is the second African-American woman to play on the LPGA Tour after Althea Gibson. Yes, Althea Gibson played golf. Most of us know her from tennis. But Dr. Renee Powell was the second one to play on the tour, and she actually is on our advisory board and our mentor. And her father built the first Black-owned and operated golf course in America, Clearview Golf Club, which is in Canton, Ohio. And she's just an absolute wonderful advocate for the game of golf, for veterans, for women, for any and everyone that wants to play. And that's why her father built the course, because at that time when he came back from the Army, African Americans were not allowed to play golf in the U.S., so he built his own course. So she is well-renowned in the LPGA community. She is a member of the Royal and Ancient Golf Club in St. Andrews. And we actually traveled with her because she was being honored with a building named in her honor on the campus of the University of St. Andrews. So she is just an absolute wonderful individual in the game, in the arena of golf. And we encourage anyone to you know, visit Clearview. She supports veteran women. She runs the Clearview Hope, helping our patrons everywhere. And so we banded together as women and realized that, you know, we needed to continue to help with the growth of the game for women and all girls.
You know, Clemmy, I had the opportunity, I appreciate the opportunity a month ago to sit in on your state of the of your organization, you know, as far as, you know, progress you made. And I was really impressed with some of the board members. I know that you have a board member that's a famous golf course architect, and they're very interactive with the organization. And you have a famous board member that you see on television all the time as a golf announcer. Tell us about those two.
Oh, yes, we are so excited. So two of our board members, you know, we have literally just been guided by the most influential women in golf. So one of our board members is actually one of 12 women in the world that actually designs golf courses. And her name is Jan Bell Jan, and she owns a golf course design business out of Jupiter, Florida. And I know she was trained, you know, by the Dye family, and she is just phenomenal. And I'm working on a project with her right now where we are looking to hopefully sponsor a young student to a cheapest of golf course design course that will be held at Erin Hills. And they'll actually learn how to design one hole up in Erin Hills next year. So we are consistently, you know, supporting women in golf, our youth in golf, and looking for sponsors for these kinds of opportunities to make sure that they are exposed to everything that the industry has to offer. And then our most recent appointment to our advisory board is Troy Mullins, who is one of the world long drive champions. And, you know, Troy hits the ball over 400 yards, which is about 4 football fields. So we've just been very fortunate to have the right people see and believe in our mission and what we're doing to encourage more women to play golf.
You know, John and I were blessed to be up at the Annika and had conversations, and Jeremy Friedman was one of them. He was the media director. And the world of women's golf across the world, actually, it's amazing the growth. And you just have to be smiling all the time. You know, you were a pioneer, of course, with the young golfers of color. But now it's international. It's every race. There isn't a country it doesn't touch. And it's incredible. And it's just got to be exhilarating for you and all the hard work and the relationships that you have developed over the decades.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's been people like you, John, Dr. Powell, Barry Smith, that just really believed in us from over 10 years ago. I mean, we're still not, you know, exactly where we all want to be, but we're getting there. And then it has just been phenomenal because we do know that when a girl is involved in sports, you know, it increases her grades. It reduces at-risk behavior. And then particularly when you pick up a set of golf clubs, her whole world is just really expanded, you know, beyond what she will ever imagine, even from, you know, a mental health perspective and health and wellness. So I always say it's a sport that you can't lose. Like I said, I played mostly all sports, from basketball to being a lifeguard, an NFL cheerleader, and now golf. And, you know, the thing that I realized is that, you know, I just really was appointed to do this work because, you know, I just was not a golfer, but I love it.
Hey, Clemmy, when you get ready to pen your life's memoirs, or just focus on the golf piece of it, I think a great title would be "Treasures in the Trash." What do you think?
That's what I always use, that statement that, you know, my brother finding a set of golf clubs, they literally were a treasure in the trash because, like I said, it has catapulted us to be a champion of change for the United States White House. I actually got to go to the White House twice under the Barack Obama administration. We are the PGA Tour Charity of the Year. we were a couple of years ago, and then we were also the Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team community hero. So we're just pleased to see and, you know, are grateful that we've been able to have a very visible impact in this space to make a difference, to change the lives of young girls and women.
You had a big role in at Valspar as well. I know that.
Yes. That was when we won the PGA Tour Charity of the Year with the Valspar Championship and the Copperheads with Rondé Barber and Tracy. So everyone has just always, you know, supported what we've been doing. You know, you definitely don't get, you know, to these kinds of spaces alone. And, you know, we just want to say, you know, thank you for all of those individuals that have continued and will continue to support the organization and what we're going to be doing with the NFL. And when we talk about Dr. Powell, when John asked me about her, the one quote that she taught me, and I always like to recite to anyone, she learned it from her dad, and it's so important in this world of golf and diversity and inclusion, and it goes like this. The golf ball does not know the color of our skin, and the scorecard should not handicap us by our race. And that wouldn't it be nice if life was just more like golf?
Bravo.
You know, that is very profound, because and to validate that, I know for a fact that you can't talk to a golf ball either, because when you hit the ball
right.
in the wrong direction, you could yell all you want at it and plead with it and talk to it. It's just going to have a mind of its own. So, yeah. You know, hey, I think, Mike, you also have, I think you're onto something for climbing the treasures in the trash. You know, Ben Hogan, the famous golfer, did a series of interviews with Life magazine and actually did a five-part golf instruction series, because everybody wanted to know what the secret was of Ben Hogan. And after the Life instruction articles came out in the 50s, you know, Life magazine used to be this giant publication. Everybody's kind of disappointed because they didn't find out the secret. Well, he later on told the secret. He said the secret's in the dirt. And people go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you just got to go out and practice. You know, you got to work at it. You know, the secret's in the dirt." So here, a life opportunity is the treasures in the trash.
Absolutely. And it was, you know, like I said, it was a corporate layoff that, you know, I finally was like, oh my gosh, you know, now I finally have time. I can, you know, take up some lessons and learn how to play. And then, you know, just very quickly, I saw there was a gap. And I think the secret, I really think the secret, John, for me was because I was just the average, ordinary woman, you know. I didn't grow up with access to, you know, a golf club or golf course. You know, hadn't even really been to one most of my life. Because as minority women and minority girls, as you know, typically most of us in sports, we are geared towards track, basketball, and volleyball. And I played most of those sports, except I was also a swimmer. And then, of course, my dad was one of the first African-American men to get an MBA contract. You know, John and I have a lot of history with our fathers back in 1946. So I was a real girl dad.
Well, and obviously it rubbed off on you with your motivation and success and drive. I remember you telling us stories when we were talking about Savannah and your father's role in sports up there. And then and my Ben Botham that still works for me, very instrumental when he went to Savannah State in creating the Negro Baseball Museum up there, which I thought was pretty cool. And I saw the joy in your face when he announced that to you.
Yeah, right, because he played for the Savannah League, the Negro League. So, yes, we come from a pretty strong, you know, sports background. And he was actually asked at one point to play with the Harlem Globetrotters. So I think it's important, though, that the fathers, you know, become involved in encouraging their daughters to learn any kind of sport. So that's a huge, huge value to our success in life.
Hey, shifting gears here a little bit, let's talk a little bit about this event coming up. I know that We had talked earlier in the show about the NFL Alumni Super Bowl golf qualifier. We had our big press conference yesterday, and you were an integral part of it with the Women of Color Golf. But let's get our listeners out there, because there's something that that the average person, they could be involved with our golf tournament. Maybe if they want to play, that's fantastic. But if they don't, there's something that's going to go on at our golf tournament in between the round of golf after we tee off and before we finish. Mm-hmm. And I know it's called Mentoring Beyond the Green and the Gridiron Women and Girls Golf Clinic. So tell us what's going on with that and your organization and how to get involved.
Okay, awesome. So we are beyond thrilled to offer this initiative with the NFL Alumni Tampa Bay Chapter and, John Rigger, Barry, and Barry Smith, and Dexter Jackson. So what is going to happen is, alongside their Super Bowl of Golf qualifier, for the first time ever, we are offering an initiative called Mentoring Beyond the Green and the Gridiron. And what that is the Women and Girls Golf Clinic that will be going on, and we will be hosting a clinic along with some PGA professionals in order to, again, support the growth of the game of golf, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and gender equality in sports. And this is extremely important because, you have a lot of NFL players, NFL alumni. We remember the Girl Dad campaign with Kobe Bryant. So what we've been talking about is with the NFL alumni is, having these girl dads unite. Because we need for men to be involved in helping us to continue to encourage their wives, their daughters, their girlfriends, their employees to be involved in the sport of golf. And why is that important? It's important because statistically we know that the golf industry is about $100 billion industry. And that most of those deals are being made on the golf course. So you've only got about 24 million people that play golf, 4 million are minorities, and less than 1% is a woman of color. And overall, when you look at the percentage of people who are playing, you've got about 77% are men and the other 20% are women. So we've got a lot of growth opportunity to do that. And I think you all know is that when you get, the fathers involved who are in sports with their girls, it changes a lot of things about, how we view the world, how we see the world, about being engaged in sports. So this could not be a more significant initiative for the NFL, who has, a lot of players that are playing golf. We all know once they retire, you can play golf and live forever, which means you can continue to play with your family forever. The other reason that is important is because that, it's going to give young ladies, an opportunity to experience, what are the basic fundamentals, for people that don't know how to play the game. And so they'll actually be taught this by, PGA professionals. They'll get to meet other women. And we are just super excited about the support of Mentoring Beyond the Green and the Gridiron, because the NFL definitely has their mentorship program, Caring for Kids, but they're now aligning with a women's organization to support golf.
I got to interrupt you, dear. We're up against, we could talk for an hour. We're up against a hard break right now, but it was a pleasure to get you on, and we'll have you on some more to continue this conversation. And get you down here to the studio sometime when John's in town, and we'll get Barry here, and we'll have a little party. How about that?
That'll be fantastic, and thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you, you have
a great day. Treasures in the trash. Okay. I'm not going to forget that. That's what John and Bill called me, a treasure from the trash. All right, we'll be back. We're on the T, Florida, for our second hour, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios. Stay tuned.